Good evening. So this week we're given the story of two daughters who represent the entire spectrum of society, from impoverished to privileged. By weaving these two encounters with Jesus together, Mark challenges us with how the healing path for the dying daughter of the privileged is detoured in order to engage the suffering daughter in the crowd. So begin with the story of the well-to-do synagogue official, Jairus, who falls to the ground, begging Jesus to spare the life of his daughter, who's at the point of death. Then on the way to the house, Jesus encounters a woman who's been hemorrhaging for years and seeks to be healed. For 12 years, she's been constantly bleeding, and thus is ritually unclean. She's filled with shame and humiliation. No one can hold her. No one can touch her. She's exhausted all of her money, attempts to be cured, living a lifetime of loneliness and isolation. She was as good as dead. Two women, different ages, different standings in society, both are dead and dying. And yet, through faith, their humanity is reestablished. For this gospel tells us that faith is more than just standing by and hoping and praying. Rather, faith requires love-based action. Faith requires us to take the first step. Yet life can be so overwhelming and confusing, we don't even know where to begin. So we need to pause. We need to talk to one another, to listen to one another, so we can better understand each other, understand where we are called to be, and how to have the faith to take the first step in that direction. So what is this faith that saves you? What does it look like? What does it feel like? How do we even show it? Recently, I came across a poignant answer on just the same questions from my friend Greg Boyle of Homeboy Industries. I've mentioned him a couple times here, but for those of you who do not know him, he's a Jesuit priest who has spent decades ministering to gang members who have lost hope. Father Greg is the founder of Homeboy Industries, a nonprofit that provides job training and tattoo removal and other services for those newly released from prison and former gang members. This past week, during his morning thought of the day to all his employees in L.A., Greg openly wondered about that line we just heard in today's gospel. Your faith has saved you. And was wondering, what does it really mean? So this is what he said in the story that he told. I don't think faith has anything to do with belief. I don't think it has anything to do with our allegiance or adherence to a set of beliefs or a belief system. I think it has to do with a decision to be anchored in love, tethered to a sustaining God, and not to be the least bit shaky about our unshakable goodness. That's what it means to be faithful. So it's not just being optimistic that everything will turn out. It's about being positive in the power of your own love. Last week, I visited Pelican Bay Prison, where it said that they house the worst of the worst, and where I had the opportunity to meet many of the inmates and say Mass. After the liturgy, many of the inmates who attended wanted to have selfies taken with me. It was then I got to meet Louis, one of those who are called worst of the worst, someone who will never see the outside of this prison. He was just delightful. And he gained much enjoyment from photobombing each and every picture that was taken. As Sam, the prison chaplain, led me to the next prison yard, he told me this story about Louis. Several months earlier, one of the finest pianists from Carnegie Hall came to give a 45-minute concert for those inmates who were able to attend. About 60 men came that evening, settled in, and the pianist began to play. And it was so glorious. And the music was so magnificent, so beautiful. When Sam looked at the faces of the inmates, they were all sobbing. They were all crying. They all had their faces in their hands. And Sam looked at the guards, and even they turned their faces away, discreetly flicking away tears. Everyone was reduced to tears. It was so beautiful. So the pianist finishes and he asks if anyone has any questions. And no one does because they're just so undone emotionally. Then Louis, the photobomber, stands, but sobbing so hard he can barely speak. But finally he cries out just one word, "Why?" And the concert pianist began to cry. And he said, "Because you are deserving of beauty. You are worthy of it. And there is no difference between me and you." And that's what faithfulness looks like. It's about being anchored in love and tethered to a sustaining God, not even one bit shaky about our unshakable goodness. That is the faith that will save you. That's what Jesus means. It's not about belief. It's not about optimism. It's about choosing to live in a loving way each day. For me, the air lies in the core meaning of today's gospel. Faith requires us to fall from who we think we are, acknowledging that all of us are broken in some way, and for us to have the faith that we are always loved by a God who calls us to come forward, to take action, and to show love. For most of us don't even yet live our objective, totally given and unearned identity, hidden with Christ and God. Rather, our core identity in Christ has been made into a worthiness contest in which almost no one wins. So many of us don't even bother trying. But it's this type of awareness, of faith, which sent Jairus falling to the feet of Jesus, begging for new life. It's the same heart-rending realization by the hemorrhaging woman that she was not unclean in the eyes of God, which allowed her to act on her faith, to rise up from her knees, to reach out to new life through Christ. But as we see in today's gospel, God seeks faith. God wants us to love. For this gospel gives us two stories of people totally different in most ways, who find themselves in the darkest part of their lives and are rewarded with love, compassion, and inclusion when they had the faith to take the first step towards Christ and thus experience resurrection. Therefore, if you and I want to experience the same, we need to look for moments in which people like these women are being excluded and to comfort them. We need to look for moments where people are called unclean or unworthy and welcome them. We need to look for moments where people who are shunned, caged, and separated are freed and united. We need to look for moments when we are challenged with circumstances in our lives where we need to have the faith to fall into who we really are hidden in Christ. The faith that leads us to take positive actions in our lives, actions that will bring light into darkness, healing our wounds, and comfort to our soul. A faith anchored in love, tethered to a sustaining God, and not even the least bit shaky about our unshakable goodness.